I'm going to ask you to be silent, to be still for a few minutes. I'm going to, together, we're going to pray the text that God has called us to hear and marinate with today. And then I'm going to say a short prayer. And during this time, I really ask that we sit and we feel and we sense the presence of the Lord and all that God is doing in this place. Amen. So let's close our eyes, and hold tightly to the person next to you as we hear the word of the Lord. This is Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Señor, te damos gracia en el día de hoy, Señor. Porque tú eres bueno. Tú eres un Dios justo. Tú eres un Dios maravilloso. Te pedimos, Señor, que tú derrames tu espíritu sobre esta iglesia, tu casa. Que tú nos llena con un espíritu de discernimiento, Señor, de esperanza, de sabiduría. Y más que cualquier cosa, Señor, llénanos con tu presencia. Déjanos sentir todo el poder que tú tienes, Señor, porque eres tú, Señor, que dirige el mundo. Y con una frase y una palabra, Señor, tú puedes hacerlo todo. Y por eso te damos gracia. Por eso te damos gloria, Señor, en el día de hoy. Oh God, we ask that you pour your power of stillness over us all. We're all coming in here with various things, with pain, discomfort, questions, anguish, confusion. You are a mighty and powerful God, a God that can lift up our deepest pains and do something beautiful with them. Lord God, pour your spirit over this entire place. Be with us, Lord. Help us receive this word together. You are a good, good God, a good, good Father. And for that, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. So as I began to prepare this message, I think I was talking to Cleve, I was talking to Gloria, I was talking to some other people, and I realized that I preached this exact same text a year ago. And I thought to myself, how is that possible? I mean, I really liked it. I felt really connected to it. And I go, wow, I've preached this very thing around this same time last year. And I still felt called to return back to the text. It was kind of scary because I thought to myself, well, how can I preach this again? Well, how is that possible? But I'm thankful that the Word of God is a living and dynamic and breathing thing. That we can read one scripture today, understand it in a particular way, and then tomorrow we can read the same text and it feed us in a whole different way. Depending on our season, depending on our location, depending on where we are when we read it, all those things factor into how we understand God revealing God's self in the midst of us. Amen?
Yes.
So with that being said, I anxiously and nervously said, okay, God, I've read this a thousand times. Let me read it one more time. And let me see what you have to say to me and to us today in this day. Last time I spoke about this, some of you were all here. I talked about vulnerability. I love talking about vulnerability and dignity. Those are big buzzwords in my life because I really think that at the heart of God is a God that yearns for our full dignity and our full self to come to God. I talked about how we are called to have one hand in the sky praising the Lord and receiving energy from the Lord, but also one hand to one another as brother and sister and sibling in Christ, empowering us and walking alongside Jesus. But today I'm not talking about vulnerability or dignity or anything like that, although those are great topics to discuss. Today I want to reflect with the question, how do we endure as the people of God? How do we, as people here at Citywell who are called to receive the ways of Jesus as our way of life for his glory, for the sake of the world, how do we do that? And how, once we say yes, how do we count the cost? Because if you read the book of Jeremiah is an interesting character. He's a very personable character. Over the course of his 40 years in ministry, Jeremiah witnessed and engaged in a lot of stuff. I would say, in present day language, Jeremiah experienced a lot of trauma as a result of being a faithful disciple of Jesus, faithful disciple of God. Jeremiah was arrested. He was left in a cistern to die. He barely escaped with his own life. He lost everything and witnessed the upheaval of his people. I don't know about you, but that seems pretty devastating to me. Pretty difficult to witness. Pretty difficult to make sense of all those things. To understand Jeremiah, to understand Moses, to understand Jesus, we have to be well acquainted with the suffering that they experience. The prophets, the apostles, Jesus, they were all familiar with pain and discomfort. They counted the cost and said yes every single day. How then do we endure? How then do we, on a practical level, say yes to Jesus every single day? I believe that Citywell is called into a particular season. And that's why I began the sermon today with just resting and listening. I believe more than ever, the city of Durham is calling for us as Christians, as people who yearn for Jesus, to radically, radically listen and to see and to hear and engage all our senses to see what God is up to in our location. Amen? It's not in our strength, it's not in our creativity or in our intellect that will transform Durham. It's by tuning in to the amazing power of Jesus, of enduring well, of suffering well, and doing that in community. It's not a sexy thing. It's a thing that we're called to be faithful into. We yearn here in Durham and at Citywell for justice, for racial equity, for fair housing, for living wages, for dignity of others. We yearn to live an authentic community across ethnic lines, against socioeconomic status, against language barriers. We yearn for all these things, and those things are just and they're right. We need to lean into those things. Those things bring glory to God when we push back against the evils of this world. But although those things are deeply practical on one level, they're also deeply spiritual. We don't battle against, as Ephesians says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. To endure, Citywell means to put on the full armor of God and to deal faithfully with the spiritual dynamics that are in play when we talk about racism, when we talk about marginalization, when we talk about looking at another person as the other, when we are implicated in the violence in our very own communities that we're called to help and to walk alongside. Like Jeremiah, we are not disconnected from the issues we champion. We cannot, we must not trumpet from a distance. What the people of Judah experienced during Jeremiah's time was also experienced by Jeremiah. Jeremiah wasn't over here prophesying and not engaging with his people. He experienced alongside his people all the brokenness, all the futility that comes with being a finite human being. And yet, God put words in his mouth. God empowered Jeremiah. God empowered Moses. And Jesus was empowered by the Spirit. At some level, we all partake in this system of brokenness. We all have a little bit of dirt in our fingernails when it comes to hurting one another. The call to the pastor has been a very difficult thing for me to fully embrace and accept. I often think of myself as the four-fifths pastor, meaning I've given maybe 80% of my life to God, and I say, God, I'm going to hold on to this 20% as like a backup plan. And whatever goes down, at least I got this. It's mine. You know, I can do what I want. I'm going to do me over here. I love you. But I'm going to do four-fifths time. And God has been merciful throughout that whole process. Again and again, day after day, I give God the four-fifths. I say, here you go, God. I'm going to do your work, but I'm going to do it four-fifths. God, you're telling me to preach a word to Citywell, but I'm only going to preach four-fifths of this word because, you know, I got to keep my ego in check. I got to look smart. You know, I got these degrees. You know what I mean? I have a reputation to maintain. God, I can't look foolish. I can't speak a word that could get me in jail like Jeremiah or get me killed like Jesus. I gotta be a four-fifths pastor. I hope you understand what I have to say. But I've learned through being in community with Citywell, through the faithful guidance of my mother and the lovely embrace of my wife and family and friends here at Citywell, that God wants a little more. God wants me to be wrapped up and consumed by all that God is. We read in the scripture that Jesus is an all-consuming fire. Jesus doesn't just consume a little bit, but that fire has a dual purpose: to refine and to reveal, to expose and to heal. Fire also heals. Isn't that something? And that's how it is. Fire does a lot of things. It does a lot of things. I find that Jesus is merciful when I think that I can deal with the problems of my day with my creativity. God is merciful when I use my intellect to try to say something new, some interesting truth about the gospel. And I'm not jealous of the theologians in the room who make that a daily practice of helping clarify who God is. That's quite the task. God is merciful when my own creativity gets in the way of understanding God's infinite creativity and dealing with the brokenness of the world. God is calling me, God is calling us, you, to be who you're called to be. I'm called to be a Spanglish, nerdy, sing in the shower, pastor, and worshiper of the Lord. That's who I'm called to be. And I pray that, yes, and I pray that we can all have confidence to be those things, to fully embrace. I don't know about you all, but when I'm silent, when I'm truly, truly silent, things come up that I do not like about myself. Silence has a way of revealing things I do not want to reveal. And I can spend my entire life putting things on top of that silence to always be a four-fifths pastor. And so whatever God's calling you today, to be a pastor, to be a faithful business person, to be a faithful spouse, to be a faithful, insert the blank, student, friend, we're called to give all of ourselves, and Jesus wants to bring all of that into the fold for his glory. Jesus counted the cost. Jeremiah counted the cost. Moses counted the cost. If we're called to receive the ways of Jesus as our way of life, we are called to say yes. Oftentimes, the only way we can really say yes is by listening deeply. By listening deeply. For many of you all, August is a season of transition. Some of you, a new fiscal year is beginning in your work and you have to kind of finalize all those things. For some, you're starting school again or signing another lease
or starting a new job or quitting a new job or quitting a job. You know, there's that summer love that happens sometimes. So folks, you know, had that relationship and now here they are single and questioning God's plan for their life, or deeply content that they're single and again questioning their God's plan for their life. But I want to come back to the question, how do we endure? How do we endure like Jeremiah endured, like Moses endured, like Jesus endured? We cling to the rock. We prepare ourselves individually and as a community. God's constant desire to make us new does not discriminate. It does not discriminate. As we begin another season, we must remember, just as we are called to activism, just as we are called to be faithful to our partners, just as we're called to be faithful to Jesus, we too are called to be plucked up and pulled down. We too are destroyed. We're made new in spite of ourselves. We too delight in the process of building up and planting. This is the God that we believe in, a God that is all-consuming. Jesus revealed to us as an all-consuming God, a God that will not allow and cannot allow the darkness of our world to have the last word. We fear not because Jesus has overcome the world. Amen? The resilience that we see in Jesus gives us hope and empowers us. God will put the words in our mouths, City Well, but first we're called to listen, to deeply, deeply listen, and to make it a practice that when things come up, together as a family, we love, we walk alongside, we endure with one another. If you're in a season of your life right now where you have a little extra capacity, I pinky promise you there's someone in here that is running out of capacity. They desperately need your friendship. They desperately need you in a deeply covenantal relationship to walk alongside them and to love them well. I pinky promise. There's somebody in here that is at their wit's end, struggling to wake up the next day and make sense of the world. So if you have a little bit of extra in your gas tank, head on over to that person, love them, care for them, because together we endure. Together we endure. I want to leave you with something a little practical, a little something on the grounds that my mother taught me. My mom teaches me a lot of things, as you all know. I share my mother's wisdom quite a bit here. So I'm going to give you a small Spanish lesson. Are you ready? Three words in Spanish, en español. All right? All right. And I want to preface this by saying this is not a linear model. This isn't a three steps to being awesome with God. This is merely, I believe, three things that ground us, that bring us closer in intimacy with the Lord, and help reflect on the question, how do we endure? You ready? We endure. I'm gonna say the full phrase, and then you're gonna repeat after me, okay? We endure con la espada. Con oración y con acción. All right, we're going to do that one more time. Ready? We endure con la espada. Con oración y con acción. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. La espada, the sword, is that which helps us see God in fresh and new ways. The word of God is that which you can read the same text and get a completely different conclusion because God is real and God is present. We got to know the word. We got to love the word. And there's certain seasons of our life where the only answer to endurance is la espada. That sometimes might be the only tool. Your only herramienta is la espada. And some seasons, all you got is oración, is prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Getting up, my mom always tells me, you can't sleep, get on your knees and pray. God's trying to tell you something. I'm like, Mom, what? You always tell me prayer and I get, prayer. It's important because sometimes that's all we got. That is all we have is prayer. Sometimes all we have is the sword. Sometimes all we have is prayer. And last but not least, sometimes all we have is acción, is action. I don't want to demonize action. Action is vitally important, but it's grounded in the revelation of who Jesus is. For some, the only thing they have is action. The only way that they can maintain their dignity and believe in a risen Lord is by acting. Speaking out against injustice, participating in Moral Mondays, doing whatever they need to do because God is real and God empowers. That's all they got. When we come together, con la espada,
con oración,
y con acción, we become the people of God like Jeremiah, like Moses, and revealed to us in Jesus a real and practical way of enduring and speaking out against the darkness of the world. Because we live in a place where it's not just our intellect, it's not just our creativity that changes things. Although God gives us those gifts for His glory, for God's glory. But we sit in the presence of a living God who has fought the battle for us, who has overcome the world, and calls us, brothers and sisters, to rest and to revel in the delight that is God, because we fight a spiritual battle. Racism, inequity, discrimination, marginalization, all these things, they're not just things that we experience. They're deeply spiritual and evil things that we need to be grounded and resting on the rock to endure. And we're called to that, all of us, every day. Amen.